All right, just we're glad John and Pat are back. John's going to teach for us the next several weeks, but they had to bring snow with them. But
they always do, you know.
Always.
90 when we left, so we
couldn't. 90 degrees when they left.
I don't have too many more.
All right, so
who else wants to read?
Turn it over to John.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay, well, it's good to be back, and that's true. Every time we come back, every time, between the day we got back Tuesday, until we come to church Sunday, it snows. So Wednesday night into Thursday, I think, or whatever it was, we got 2 inches. And of course, today there was no snow predicted, but... And April here, our missionary, she's like a little kid out there taking pictures. They don't make this stuff in Africa, I don't think. But it's good to be back, and it's fun to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to teach. And before we get into the lesson, how about prayer requests today? How about safety for people coming to church? And we had plans of going out to a restaurant for Mother's Day, but we may just get a sandwich at home. But any prayer requests, continue to pray for Dieter. And it's good to see him. He's doing a lot better than he was 6 months ago. So appreciate that. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we are indeed grateful to be able to be in your house today to worship together, to fellowship together, and just to learn more about you and to fellowship with you. Father, help us to be tuned in to you as we worship you. From our hearts, help us experience you in our lives. Guide us, Lord, as we look into this lesson this morning. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. Is that what it is? 13. I don't know what it is. Whatever your little... Matthew 13. And I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 9. And that's what most of the lesson is. And we're going to skip around to some more afterwards. But I'm going to be teaching for the next 3 Sundays. And we're going to be looking at some parables of Jesus. And last year, actually, I only taught one Sunday, and we taught one parable. And this lesson series I have taught by Preach, the old guy from our church in Colorado Springs who passed away 2 years ago. He wrote all these lessons. There's 13 lessons in this series. So we did one last year, and we're going to look at 3 more this year. And this is a lesson about dirt. So it's called The Soils, as you see on the lesson. But let me read this. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they didn't have much soil. Immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out." Verse 8. "And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Okay, so we're in this passage as a bunch of parables, especially the rest of this chapter. And next week's lesson also comes from the 13th chapter. Let me read you this. "Have you ever wondered why a person who is lost can hear the gospel presented with clarity, but then turn away and refuse to receive Christ as their Savior and Lord? And do you ever wonder what happens to people who make decisions which seem to be sincere decisions for Christ, but before long they drop out of church and you never see them again?" Imagine all of you can relate to some of this and know stories about this. I mean, if you've ever been to a church service and you heard a message that was so clear, the message of salvation and what Christ can do to a life, And you know there's a lost person sitting over here. And when it's all done, they walk away. How could they do that, you know? You know the Holy Spirit's working in their lives, but they just blow it off. Or somebody that walks down the aisle, makes a decision, and for the next few weeks they're in church, and then they start dropping out, and you never see them again. We often put ourselves on a guilt trip and think, there's something we didn't do right. If we had shown more interest in that individual, or if we had been more effective in discipleship, or if the church had done a better job of getting the individual involved, perhaps they would have continued in the Word and would have grown to be a strong, effective Christian witness. So we're going to be looking at this with the different types of soil and what this all means. So our first blank there says, why is there not more lasting fruit? Why is there not more lasting fruit? And the second bullet, not all who heard Jesus responded and continued as disciples. Who's got John 6:66? John 6:66. Somebody must hopefully has it. John 6:66. We have a sword drill. Who can get it first? Okay, so here, you know, in Jesus' ministry, I mean, these people are with God, okay? And they've been following him and listening to his teachings and stuff. And he started getting a little bit tougher on some of the teachings, perhaps, you know, getting more serious, more in depth. And it says here a lot of people left him. So if we see a preacher, you know, and the church grows a little bit, then people start leaving. You know, Jesus had that problem too. Why? Why is that? Why don't people stay true to the gospel? As an introduction, in Matthew 12, we see there's a growing hostility. That's the missing word, a growing hostility toward Jesus. This is where we start seeing, you know, and the Pharisees, and the scribes and the Pharisees trying to trick him, or they ask him this or that, and they're starting to attack Christ in the 12th chapter of Matthew. So he's facing some hostility here. And then the next thing, but in Matthew 13, 2, okay, who's got Matthew 13, 2? Okay, April?
Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people.
Okay, so here he's got the multitudes. And in fact, there's so many, he decided, hey, let's push this pulpit out into the lake. And otherwise, they'd be all gathered around him and everything. And, you know, it's more effective to be out on the lake. So he just pushed off a few yards from shore, and he preached from there to the multitudes. The next thing here says, at least three-fourths of those who heard Jesus would not respond to his teachings. Why? I'm not sure where they got that statistic, but, you know, the majority of the people that heard Jesus and even followed him for a while did not remain true to him. So why is that? Well, how many of you ever planted anything? We got any farmers in here? Anybody that used to be a farmer? Successful? Okay. So, I remember when my late wife and we got married, and the first 2 years we lived in Sellersburg, Indiana, which is by, I was telling April, because she's from Indiana. It's near Louisville, Kentucky. I was going to grad school, going through Air Force ROTC, because I was number 8 on the lottery and I had to do something. Anyway, but we had a mobile home and planted a little garden in the back. And I didn't weed it a whole lot, you know. But the corn came up nice and tall. I didn't like them. I still don't like them. My wife liked zucchini. So after I don't know how many weeks, I was out there weeding. I started weeding, and I jumped back. There was a zucchini almost 2 feet long. I didn't know what kind of animal this was when I started pulling weeds, you know. So and different places we lived, I tried doing some gardening and all. But to have successful crops, you got to depend on three things, okay? Here it says a crop may fail for three reasons. Number one, the sower. The sower, he may not do his work. You know, what if you plant those seeds too deep? You know, they just never come up. You know, or too close together. Or, you know, you don't just throw seeds out there, although in this parable they did. But, the doctor's here. We need to be careful. Welcome, Gerard. Gerard and Don are back. You haven't been here yet, have you? Oh, okay. Hey, they are fellow sons. Sunbirds down in Sun City, Arizona. They even bought a place, and they're going to be full-time down there, right?
Well,
We had fun with them this winter. Showed them around some of Sun City. And Dawn loved it. Didn't you? Sun City. Okay, good to have them here. Okay, so the sower may not have done its work right. Okay, that's one thing. You made a flop that... Why didn't your garden succeed? Or you had some good gardens, I guess, but... Yeah. Okay, okay. Well, the second thing, the seed may be bad. The seed may be bad. I guess you could buy, what are some of the seeds you used to buy? I was going to say gherkins or something. It could have been a 12-year-old bag and it's not good anymore. I don't know. But the seed may have been bad. And the third reason it could have failed is because the soil may have been bad. And I don't know. Pulverized granite doesn't seem like the best kind of soil to plant vegetables, right? So that could be a problem up here. All right, well, let's look at these three reasons. First, the sower. Letter A, okay, number one is the sower. And letter A, the sower is not directly identified, but Matthew 13:37, who's got that? Okay.
And he answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.
Okay, so B, the sower is Jesus. Okay, and therefore, letter C, therefore the fault is not with the sower. Does anybody knew how to sow the word of God, it would be God himself, right? So the problem is not with the sower. We can eliminate that one. Let's go look at the seed. Number two, the seed. Luke 8:11. Who's got that? Luke 8:11. Okay, this parable is in, at the top of your thing there, we're looking at the Matthew one, but it's in Mark and Luke as well. There's only one parable, no, that was a miracle. Only one miracle that's in all four Gospels. That was the feeding of the 5,000. But there's parables all over the four Gospels, and this one's in three of them. And they tell a little different. Is that bad? Does that mean the Bible's wrong? If Matthew says this and Mark says that, Mark doesn't tell us what the sower is or seed or whatever. Or anyway, different perspective. And I used this before. We did our walk through the Bible and we looked at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Jesus as a king. Mark presents him as a servant, completely opposite. Luke presents him as a perfect man. And John presents him as a son of God, opposites once again. But we talked about these four guys. Two of them were disciples, a tax collector and a fisherman. And one was a kid, Mark. And then there was Luke, who's a doctor, and he followed Paul all over the place. So they came from different backgrounds. And it's kind of like if we all went to a ball game today, I don't think we're going to. But if we all went to the Diamondbacks. That's what the Phoenix one is. But we've got the Rockies up here. We'll all go to the Rockies game. And Gerard, he knows somebody, and he's sitting right behind home plate, okay? But Scott likes to sit behind first base because that's where everything happens, And Dieter, he's a cheapskate. He's way out in right field in the bleachers, okay? And they all watch the game, right? The same game. And they all do a report on the game. Are these three reports going to be the same? Are they all going to be true? Hopefully so. Dieter's going to say, hey, the highlight of the game was that three-run home run, and I caught the ball out in right field, That was the highlight. And Gerard, where are you sitting, Gerard? Behind home plate. He said, no. He said, when that guy slid in under the catcher and made it and he missed the tag and he got that run, that was the highlight right in front of me. Scott says, no, didn't you see the double play right in front of me? So they're all going to write different ways, report on the same event, all tell the truth. I believe the Holy Spirit definitely inspired every word that's in the Bible. But I think he left a little leeway for some of them to tell kind of in their own style. So that's why we've got three different versions or parts of this particular parable of Jesus. So it's not the trouble with the sower. The seed, we just learned, is the Word of God. That's pretty good seed, isn't it? The Word of God. So you can write down word there, the Word of God, A, letter A. And it says, God's Word is infallible, no errors, and trustworthy. If there's something we can trust today, it's that.
Anybody here play Words with Friends? Anybody admit it on their phone? It's an online Scrabble. We get this one commercial about this solitaire game. You can win $200 every day. You can make $2,000 a month just playing Scrabble. I don't think so. You know, I don't know. There's not any little fine print. You know, I don't trust that ad but you can trust the Bible. The Bible says something, it's trustworthy. So that's the seed, is the Word of God. Letter B, therefore, the fault is not with the seed. The fault is not with the seed. What else can we learn about the Word of God? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Okay, so this is an interesting, Paul talking to his preacher boy, Timothy, and telling him about God's Word. You know, it's valuable. I've got a little series of sermonettes on the 3:16s of the Bible. And sometime go through all, you don't have 66 of them because you got 5 books and only 1 chapter, and Habakkuk is 2. Anyway, there's about 60 books that have a third chapter. So there's a bunch of 3:16s. And there's a bunch of those that are just cool verses. I mean, John 3:16, we all know. Anybody that's watched a football game knows that. But this 2 Timothy 3:16 is a wonderful verse, packed with a lot of good stuff. Then 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21.
Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so here Peter, I really like this. Peter, I picture him as a big old dumb guy fisherman, right? But if it wasn't for Peter, we wouldn't know half of what we know in the Bible. But he was smart enough, he wrote 2 books. How many books of the Bible have you written, right? And these are great verses talking about God's Word. Let me read you this story. Julius Hickerson. Anybody ever hear Julius Hickerson? He was a Southern Baptist missionary to Columbia, South America. While flying over the jungles of South America, the plane in which he was riding was crashed. Years later, a group of missionaries undertook the challenge of going into a village in South America where no missionaries or Christian witnesses had ever been before. When they arrived, they found a small group of Christians and a primitive church. When they asked the people how they came to be Christians, the native replied by telling about the big silver bird which fell to the ground and a book which was inside the bird. When the missionaries asked to see the book, it was a Bible in their own language, the flyleaf said, Julius Hickerson, the word had found the receptive soil and had brought forth fruit. And that's what we're really going to look at here, the receptive soil, the soil that works. So we see there's no problem with the sower. There's no problem with the seed. So the second page or the backside, Roman numeral 3, the soil must be the problem. Must be the problem, the soil. Number A, the first kind of soil. The parable is about the different soils, and not the sower or the seed. You know, we've eliminated the soil and the seeds. I mean, the sower and the seed. So the problem is with the soil. And number one underneath that, the difference is whether there's 100-fold or no fruit at all is the soil. How good is the soil? If you planted something in your backyard around here and didn't do anything else, it's not going to grow much. But if you took care and got some potting soil and some this, that, and the other and cared for it, it's going to grow. So it's the soil. So letter B, what kind of dirt are you? What kind of dirt are you? Ask God that question sometime. God, what kind of dirt am I? I just read this story and I need to know. Number one, the hard-headed hearers. Anybody ever met one of those? The hard-headed hearers. The seed that's went by the wayside. The seed by the wayside. That's the blank wayside. Letter A underneath that, this is the preoccupied or uninterested hearer. The preoccupied or uninterested hearer. How many have been to a Billy Graham crusade somewhere in your life? Yep. I've got a picture taken with my Kodak Starflash camera or something at the Florida Field, which is called the Swamp now, University of Florida. And it's old because the Eastern bleachers are bleachers, metal bleachers, you know. But and I show you the picture. And that little black dot down there is Billy Graham. I've blown it up and all, and just get bigger, furrier, fluffier blot. But that is Billy Graham. So I was a kid, 10 years old or so, I guess, when I heard Billy Graham. But how many people went to hear Billy Graham because they wanted to hear Billy Graham? They'd heard about him, and they had no interest in Christianity. Of course, hopefully, many of those heard the gospel and responded to the calling of the Holy Spirit. But there were some who went just to say, hey, I saw Billy Graham. It's kind of neat, you know. And I watched all those people go down there. I don't know what they're doing. But these are people that aren't interested. That's the falling by the wayside. So they're preoccupied, uninterested. But they heard the word, but no response. Letter B, the word cannot get down into their heart. Word can't get into their heart. They're just not going to open up their heart to God's Holy Spirit. Letter C, the devil's interested that God's word doesn't find ground in your heart. Doesn't find ground in your heart. So that's the hard-hearted hearers, or the seed that fell by the wayside. Number two, the shallow or emotional hearer, the stony ground, the stony soil. We're getting closer to what we've got here, maybe, stony stuff. This person receives the word with joy. You know, they come to a Billy Graham crusade, all right, and they go forward, and they fill out the card. And Billy Graham crusade had a lot of, it wasn't just him. He had a whole network of people. You know, months before, there were the local pastors and other Christian workers were preparing for the crusade. And afterwards, there was a great deal of follow-up by teams of people following up the decisions that were made. So maybe he went down and made a decision or something and so forth. He receives it with joy. He said, hey, I'm part of the gang now. Letter B, but he has no root. He has no root. And so he only endures for a little while. You know, he's got a lot of enthusiasm at the beginning, but it just doesn't last because there's no depth. The seed never really took root like it needed to. The third kind is the thorny soil. The thorny soil. People have great possibilities, but they need to clean the thorns out of their lives. They need to clean the thorns out of their lives. You know, when you become a Christian, God wants you to clean up, you know, He's not looking for people to clean up their act and then become a Christian, okay? But some people say, oh, I couldn't do that, you know. Too many things in my past, I couldn't be a Christian, you know. God would never forgive me. Yeah, he would. And he doesn't require you to clean up your act before you become a Christian. But once you become a Christian, you should be getting rid of those thorns in your life, okay? You clean up your act so that God's word can take root and grow in your life. And so these are the people that, they didn't make that full commitment. They're not willing to turn over things in their lives, you know, for the word to really take root in their life. Number one under letter A, the cares of this world, or the worries, they choke out the word of God. And we got to be careful as Christians. How many of you ever worry? As Christians, you're not supposed to worry, right? How many of you ever have concerns, okay? That's more the Christian word, you know. But as Christians, I hate to admit it, but we do worry, have concerns. You know, we've got kids and grandkids. And when you're done worrying about your kids, which you never are, right? Then you start worrying about your grandkids, or some of you, your great-grandkids. You know, our daughter got married. Hallelujah. You know, September. Yeah, February 17th. Amy got married. A lot of you met Amy here. And she loves Dieter. And anyway, she finally found somebody. Theologically, they're just 100% together. And we always said that if she married somebody, probably have to be a preacher, because she's quite the theologian. She has 5,000 books. How many do you have, Gerard? And that's why Dawn married you, right? You notice they're not sitting together. That's because yesterday she wanted to play a game and he was reading his book or something. I can tell stories on him now, because we spent the winter with him, right? Dawn loved it down there. And she just bounced. We go walking Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Happy hikers, you know, go walking. We're going to be doing that again. We walk down there too. And they joined us. And Dawn, and she's not as young as she looks, you know. She doesn't come walking up to us. She comes bouncing up to us, ready to go walking. And so she loved Sun City and a lot of things that it offered. You know what Gerard's favorite place was to go? Library. Sun City has two libraries. You know how many times I've been in them? Zero. Because they have books in them. And, you know, but anyway, what's that have to do? Where are we here? Yeah. How did that have to do with the cares of the world? Anyway, so the cares of the world. So we really shouldn't worry. We need to trust God. You know, he knows what's happening tomorrow. There's a song by the Collingsworth family, and Gerard and Don saw them. And who else went with us, the Collingsworth family, last fall? Yeah, Sue and Larry went. And they have a song that several years ago was called Fear Not Tomorrow, for God is already there. Boy, that's a great song, you know. You're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. God's already there. You know, he's not as restricted to time. He knows what's going to happen. So we need to trust him and don't let the cares of this world choke out what God has for us. So number two, the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. A lot of people are preoccupied with making money, okay? For a lot of us, it's too late now, right? Hopefully we've made enough money to make it until the end. But you know, there's a lot of concern and so forth. You know, am I going to have enough money to retire? You know, I ask myself that question. I look at my parents, you know, and I said, you know, they lived on like $20,000 a year, which even back then wasn't a whole lot. But my mom was, she was frugal. And they saved up enough every 4 or 5 years to buy a new car, not a fancy one. And they lived on $20,000. So I'm, you know, working to figure out, well, you know, my retirement's going to be a lot more than $20,000. When can we retire? Can we retire? When can we? You know, can't get Social Security till 62. And you know, you're concerned about that, but don't let it ruin your life and get in the way of your relationship with God and His Word. And then number three, the lust of other things. Mark 4:19. Okay, so they're telling you these things we're talking about that can get in the way, the lust of other things. So we've got the seed that fell by the wayside, stuff on the stony ground, on the thorny ground, and now we've got the good stuff. Number four, the good ground, the productive hearer, the productive hearer. You know, are you a productive hearer? James 1:22. Okay, how many of you, I know this is an interdenominational church, you know, I got to be careful, but how many of you grew up Southern Baptist? Where are those good people? They didn't come today. Fair weather fans. Ordained Southern Baptist. And as a junior, is that junior high, I think? I don't know. But we, probably Vacation Bible School, we learned a song, Be Doers of the Word. Be doers of the word, be doers of the word, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, be doers of the word. And so that many times it said it, you know, that really stuck in my heart. But it's out of James 1:22 comes a call for juniors true, who would live for Christ, the risen Lord. Listen to the Lord's command, ringing out for one and all, be doers of the word. Anyway, so I know that verse because of that song as a kid. And if you grew up in church, you've learned things, running over and this little light of mine and all that good stuff. And those things stick with you, and they hopefully have more meaning to you today than when you were 6 years old, right? Yes, sir. Run. We could everybody stand and do running up. This Sue's back there ready to do it. Yeah. But, you know, and thank God for that little old lady that sat down and taught you when you were a bratty little kid, right? And you learned that song, you learned that verse. And now, a few years later, it has a lot more meaning to you. So, you know, if you're in the good, if you're the good soil, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Be doers of the word. Letter B there. The purpose of this message is not to be enjoyed, but to be obeyed. The purpose of this message is not to be enjoyed, but to be obeyed. How many of you came today hoping Peter's going to give a good sermon and make you feel good, And you're going to enjoy it today. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes we kind of get that feeling. And, you know, and that feels good. You can turn on the TV and probably find some guy out there who's going to preach a good sermon that's going to make you feel great, right? You don't want to turn into one of those guys who's going to preach on sin and the penalty of sin and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to hear him. We want to hear this feel-good gospel, right? But, you know, we need to ask to be challenged by the sermons, by the reading of his word. In our everyday life, we need to ask for challenges that instead of enjoying it, we're going to obey it. We need to obey God in his word. Okay, if God's message finds good soil in our hearts, our lives will bring forth fruit. The real test of a sermon is not how eloquently it's delivered, or how much it's enjoyed, or how emotionally disturbed it can get the people, but the real test is the results brought forth in the lives of the congregation. The fruit that is born. So you want to find a church, a pastor that challenges his people to get out there and be doers of the word, and not just there's nothing wrong with leaving church feeling good, okay? But you want to be challenged in your life, and you want to obey what you just heard, what God's word has to say. So be doers of the word. Okay, our little application here at the end. In order to bear fruit, those who hear the word must make preparation in their hearts for it. Must make preparation in their hearts. You know, God's Holy Spirit was working in your life. And when you became a Christian, God's Holy Spirit was working in your life, convincing you that you needed to do something. You needed to accept Christ and put your faith and your trust in him. And so you needed to, you know, once you accepted him, you need to prepare your life for what God has for you the rest of your life, and to be that good soil. Okay, the first bullet under that is watch. The missing word is watch. Watch for the devil as he tries to snatch away the word before it finds its depth. You know, that's those ones that fell on the way by the wayside. Before it could really get going, the devil snatches him away. The second one, there must be continuing. There must be continuing in the word, a daily discipline. You know, I want to challenge you to read God's word. And you know, Gerard knows how much I love to read, you know. I mean, other than the Bible, I got 3 books. I think I do. I don't know. But I only had 1 math book in 4 years of college, because I took a different kind of math. I don't like to read. Yeah. But I read 66 books every year, and I have for about 20 years. I read through the Bible, different translations. Do we have any King James only people in here? I don't know. I got a good friend. He's King James only, you know, and he'll let me have it, and that's fine. But I do read the King James. Oh, it's hard to understand, even though I grew up with that. But I don't tell him, but I've read the New Living Translation, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. But I force myself to read God's word every day. You know, it's about 2 chapters in the Old Testament, 1 chapter in the New Testament, some Psalms and some Proverbs, and you get through it in a year. If you're a good reader, it'll take you 8.5 minutes, right, Gerard? But if you're like me, it might take a little longer. And I just have problems comprehending. How many of you read something and then said, "What did I read?" And you go back and read it again or again. And then you ask God, before I start, I say, "Hey, help me understand this." And I've been reading his word for 74 years now. Well, I didn't start that soon. But I still have trouble understanding things. But, you know, he continues to speak to me. So we need to continue to be in God's word if we want to be the good soil. And the last thing there, the hearer must be willing to clear out the thorns in his life so that his attention is given to God's word, We don't want anything to get in the way of the work that God has for us in our lives. And you may say, "I'm too old. I've been serving the Lord for 78 years or something. I've had it. God can't use me anymore." Well, baloney. You know, God can still use you. Hey, how many of you remember Naomi Bollinger? We got to see her this winter. She lives about 10 miles south of us, and Gerard came with us. It was a good visit, wasn't it? And she's doing good. She's 93 or so, somewhere in her early 90s. She's in a group home, and she loves it there. She's just having a good time. Her daughter lives real close by. She's in Goodyear, I think. Avondale or Goodyear? I think it's Goodyear. Goodyear? Anyway, she sends everybody there her love. You know, they used to sit right up here, and Naomi and Tom. And how many of you don't know who Naomi Bollinger is? You know, some of you newer ones. Good. All right. Hey, Mike, you know who Naomi is.
I think you said who, you.
Oh. I used to look out your living room window and spy on her down there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, her house, as you go east from here, you ever see the barn right on the road with the big Jesus sign? And she still owns it. That's her house. She has 140 acres or 20 acres. I don't know what she's got there. And her house sits up on the hill. And anyway, but she was very faithful. They were very faithful members here years ago. But, you know, even at 93, I think God's still using her. You know, I don't know how bad you might be off or how old you are or what little you think you can do, but some of the greatest prayer warriors in a lot of churches are those 90-year-old little old ladies that are sitting there and just pouring their heart out to God, praying for missionaries like April, you know. A lot of them have these lists, go through these lists, you know, every day, praying for people. And they pray for people they never met. There's people praying for you, April, that have never met you. And but, you know, God's not through with you yet. There's still a lot he wants to do in your life. So you want to be that good soil, the productive soil, and let God just use you in your life. Okay, anybody have anything to add? Remember, it says don't add to God's word. But okay, next week we're going to, the topic is, what's the kingdom of heaven like? The different parables Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven. So between now and then, I want you all to go home, get your paper out and your crayons, and draw a picture of heaven. All right, and then we can all share, this is what heaven is like, right? You know, a first grade teacher, Sunday school teacher, asked her kids to draw something from the Bible. This one guy drew this real neat limousine, and there's this guy up front driving, and this couple in the back, and she says, what's that? That's God driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. Okay. Then there's another one. He drew an airplane with this guy in it. He says, who's that? Well, that's Pontius Pilate. Okay. But the best one is, teacher saying, what are you drawing? I'm drawing a picture of God. Hey, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like, but they will as soon as I'm done. So draw a picture of heaven. And I got some questions. Dieter, why are there 12 gates in heaven? And are those gates open or closed? You know, gates of pearl. And what's outside the gates? Is that where the golf courses are? You know, what's outside? Why are there 12 gates? Just something I think about. I don't lose a whole lot of sleep. But you ever think about heaven? And, you know, some people say, I don't really want to float on a cloud and play a harp all day. If you don't want to do that, you're not going to do that. You're going to have a good time. You're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to ask God for your money back, right? But we're going to look at the kingdom of heaven as Jesus told parables to support that. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the snow, the beauty of the snow, Lord. Just something that amazes us. Lord, we thank you for being the God that you are. And help us, Lord, to sow the seed faithfully. And Lord, the seed you've sown in our lives, help us to be productive. Help us to be the good soil. Use us, Lord, in our everyday life. Lord, we pray for the needs that are represented here. We've got family members and friends that are hurting. And Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we pray for the wedding that's going to go on today with Joe and Stephanie's family. Lord, that they just have a wonderful time. Supposed to be outside, so Lord, we just pray you guide them in that. And Lord, we just thank you for our church, for your many blessings. Pray for Dieter, Lord, as he brings the message. Lord, that you would just speak through him and challenge our lives. Continue to heal him. We love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.